Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and we're joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. How's the podcast? What you got on this week?
Oh, you know, just talking a little bit of who's the best team. Is Kansas City back? What's going on? I will tell you guys, we didn't talk about New Orleans, but, man, I know they lost, but that was pretty impressive. And Spencer Rattler's playing some good football right now. Fun to watch.
I was going to ask you about that, Mark, because, you know, you got a lot of fans that, you know, A-Bear always brings this up. They always want to blame the quarterback. Okay. The fact that you're not winning games is not Spencer Rattler's fault. Okay, you had a couple passes in that game Chris Olave couldn't come down with. Then you hit Juwan Johnson. He gets the ball punched out on him. They make a big play and get down inside the five. They hit Valet on a pass. Kelvin Banks Jr. gets called for holding. You know, it's like one after the other after the other. And then defensively, in the first half, Mark, I'll be honest, Drake May looked like they could have put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, everything was spot on with him, hitting big plays, third down conversions. It wasn't about Spencer Rattler. But again, you played in this league. You know, quarterback, way too much credit when they win sometimes and way too much blame when they lose.
Yeah, there's no question. I thought Spencer Rattler acquitted himself quite well. And, you know, you're 100% right about Drake May. I mean, that dude looked like a Hall of Famer. I mean, his ability to manipulate the pocket, to climb the pocket, to throw accurately, to do all that stuff, I thought he was phenomenal. But I really, as I watched that game, I was really impressed with, like I said, I was really impressed with Spencer Rattler and some of what he's got going on right now. And, you know, the bottom line is I don't think the expectations were real high in New Orleans, at least nationally. But what I'm seeing is a team that's fighting. They're not, you know, when I hear people say, oh, you know, we got to stink and see what we can get in the draft and how high can we go, man. I love the fact that those guys are competing their butts off. I love the fact that Kellen Moore and his staff are not just rolling over. Man, they're a tough out, and I think New England's a pretty damn good football team. So kudos to the Saints for at least fighting and doing what they're doing. I've been pretty impressed so far.
Last night, Bijan Robinson, if you didn't know about him, you sure found out. And he sort of took over that football game against Buffalo. Now, we've talked about this. Buffalo's defense is outright bad. I mean, they can't stop a cold. Nothing. But man, Bijan showed his talents and why you can make a pretty strong argument. If he's not number one, he certainly is number two as from a running back standpoint. And you know, a lot of people, oh, you can't pick a running back in the top 10 picks. Why not? Look at what Bijan means to the Falcons as a runner and a receiver. Bijan Robinson's one hell of a football player.
Yeah, no question about it, man. He is, must-see TV, there's no question. And you're 100% right. The guy's phenomenal. And his ability to run the ball, to catch the ball, to do all those things that he does. And not only that, man, you want to talk about a kid that you're just like, when you get a chance to talk to him or meet him, man, the most respectful kid, like just so happy. And he's special, man. He is just special. And you love to see those kind of guys, you know, those guys that have that kind of quality about them go out there and have success. So a lot of fun. But, hey, all of a sudden the Atlanta Falcons, you know, They're not some pushover. All of a sudden, as a matter of fact, all of a sudden that division, like if you think about the NFC South and going into the season and you think, oh, man, it's going to stink. You know, the Saints aren't going to be – they're an easy out, and the Atlanta Falcons are an easy out. The Carolina Panthers are an easy out. All of a sudden, man, you get in that division and – it's not an easy out for anybody, man. The Carolina Panthers, the way they're running the ball right now, the Falcons with Bijan, and the way Michael Penix is starting to look, and you know, and ultimately, like I said, with you guys, there is no, there's no easy game in the NFC South like it used to be.
Stink, you brought it up, but isn't the Bucs becoming must-watch TV because of Baker Mayfield? Now, they played the 49ers in a late game, and it, you know, the only thing they missed from that was McClain Stevenson, you know, and Alan Alda from MASH. I mean, both units are all beat up, and Baker making it happen. And again, in the third and fourth quarter, him being able to flip that switch and throwing touchdown passes to Taz Johnson. We talked about this last night. Taz, you know, when he makes that great catch in the end zone, and man, everybody starts, you know, chanting MVP, MVP. He thought it was for him. Didn't realize it was for Baker Mayfield. They had to tell him, you know, when he hit the sidelines. But man, are the Bucs becoming must-watch television?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield is like he's must-watch television. That his ability to compete and his ability just to lead that offense. And you know, no Mike Evans. They had two or three receivers that are out right now. You know, and then your running back and Bucky Irvin is out right now. The right side of your offensive line has been injured and has been out. Like you look at what he's doing. He just hoists him on his back and said, let's go, boys. And you're right. It's must-see television. He is must-watch. And, you know, there's no question he's the MVP right now, the early favorite in the clubhouse. And it's Baker Mayfield. And then you got to go a couple drops below before you can even start talking about whoever the next guy is. There's no question that guy is, I mean, it's just unreal the way he's playing.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Last night, we also saw the Bears play who the Saints play next. And, Mark, I thought it was the most Detroit Lions type of game for Ben Johnson since he's the coach of the Bears, where they leaned a lot on DeAndre Swift and the running game. And, man, Swift came up big. They hadn't run the football very well at all. A lot of that, some offensive line issues. You got some new pieces, especially in the middle, with some vets that you were able to bring in. Also, your tackle spots have been sort of beat up. But Swift was the difference last night in him being able to run the football. And also, he's such a threat catching the ball coming out of the backfield. But it looked sort of like a lot of what we saw in Detroit when Ben Johnson was there.
Yeah, Ben Johnson's one of those guys, you know, that we always talk about, you know, young offensive coordinators that can get quarterbacks playing well and all that stuff. And then when you really dig into what they do, man, the base of everything they want to do is about running the football. And, like, Ben Johnson is one of those guys, man. He understands the value of it. You watch during his Detroit time, they were in the top two or three every year as far as second down and long and third down and long run plays called. And part of that is because they knew the head coach was going to go for it on fourth down. But you get a lot of favorable looks in those second and long and third and long when they become passing situations. So your number counts are good in these situations. Pop a draw, pop an inside trap, whatever the case may be, you're going to have pretty good number counts if you decide to run the football in those situations. And, you know, and you can get some pop-out runs too, especially if they're playing man-to-man situations. So, You know, he's just one of those dudes that he understands the value. And I always thought, I always liked Swift, you know, regardless of where he was. I thought Swift was a really good back, and it's fun to see him get those opportunities, although it was against one of my former teams in the Washington. I don't like calling them the Commanders. I'll just call them the Washington football team. And, you know, and that was that's a big time victory, getting that late field goal opportunity.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like the revenge game, right, Mark, if you remember what happened last year with that Hail Mary that Jaden Daniels had. And then both seasons went in the opposite directions for those two teams, with the Commanders taking that all the way to the NFC Championship game, and then the Bears completely crashing and burning after that. But realistically, like, what have you seen from Caleb Williams this year? Because it feels like last night's game against Washington was a really strong performance. I know that in his rookie campaign, the big knock on him was that he held onto the ball way too long, took too many sacks. I mean, it's not all on your offensive line when you're trying to do the same things that you were doing at USC and Oklahoma that won't translate to the NFL, but just kind of your evaluation of Caleb, and then also the offensive weapons. Mike and I have kind of talked about it with Adunze and DJ Moore, both studs, a young guy and Luther Burden, and then investing in the tight end position as well with Cole Kmet and Colson Loveland.
Yeah, no, they're a really talented offense from a weapon standpoint, but again, you know, Ben Johnson had the beauty and had the understanding of, hey, we dominate the line of scrimmage in Detroit, you know, and they had a lot of weapons as well. But what they had was the ultimate weapon, and that was an offensive line that was just outstanding, right? Protected quarterback, did all those things. And you're 100% right. Like, sacks have become more of a quarterback-driven statistic than they have an offensive line-driven statistic. And Caleb took a lot of sacks where he didn't throw the ball, he wasn't on time, his footwork was bad. And that's something they've worked exceptionally hard on. And it's not where it needs to be, but it's better than it was. And, you know, Ben Johnson's a buddy of mine, so I talked to Ben Johnson about what they've worked on and you know, have been in contact with him over the course of the off season and during the early part of this season. And listen, man, it's a work in progress, and Caleb is making strides. You have to understand that, you know, his whole career from – 7-on-7 to, you know, to USC, to high school, to USC, all that stuff, man. Those guys, they play in college, they play off schedule. That's what they do. And so then all of a sudden you get to the NFL, man, you cannot win playing off schedule consistently. You will get beat. You will get sacked. You will have a strip sack fumble. You will throw a pick. You have got to be on target. You've got to be on time with the football. And then ultimately, you've got to keep your offense, you know, in front of the chains. You've got to keep yourself in second and short, or second and medium, and third and short. And if you're consistently playing off schedule, you're consistently going to be in second down and long and third down and long situations. You can't win football. You can't sustain drives in those situations. So, yeah, he played pretty good last night. I'm sure there's some things he'd like back, but the bottom line, they found a way to get a win, and he seems to be improving, you know, week in and week out.
Last question for you, Mark. Seattle, and watching them play, their defense, man, tough physical defense. Sam Darnold, you know, staying away from the mistakes, throwing the football. But the one thing I give them, and this is a Kubiak trait, sometimes the running game's not there for you. They ran the football 26 times against Jacksonville. They got 60 yards, and they threw it 27. But he didn't get away from it. I give Kubiak a lot of credit there, in that he kept kind of pounding it, despite the fact they weren't getting a lot of yardage. But he knew he could count on his defense to come up with some big plays, and Darnold not throwing kind of picks. That to me, man, Seattle, when you see them on the schedule – you better get ready. You better button up that chin strap, because they're going to butt you in the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, Smith and Jigba's having an unbelievable season. They've got Cooper Kupp. They've got the three tight ends on their roster. All three can play. And, you know, ultimately, you look at what Jacksonville did. Like, they're just focused on shutting down the run. And there was a couple of first down plays, you know, P&10 plays, where they took shots over the top and they got those big plays in the passing game. So it was a well-constructed game plan. But again, you know, there's a few things. They felt pretty confident in their ability to defend Jacksonville's offense and to shut down the run and get after the quarterback with their front four and their, you know, and bringing, you know, occasionally dog pressure. And they did that on a consistent basis. And you consider the fact that they lost three of their starting DBs. Julian Love is as good a safety as there is in this league. They didn't have him. Devin Witherspoon, maybe the best nickel corner in football. They didn't have him, right? They didn't have Rick Woolen, who's big, long, and lanky, can run like the wind. So three of their starting four in the back end were gone, and they dominated as a defense after the first series where that Jacksonville got a couple of, in the first quarter, they got a couple of big plays. I don't think it was, it might not have been the first series, it might have been the second series, but got a couple of big plays down the sideline, a couple of shot plays. And after that, man, they just tightened up and were exceptional throughout the rest of the ball game. So big time performance by Seattle.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Always love when you come on, buddy. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. Mark.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.